start, since I sense and then hand it over to you all, since Olga's not on the call. Essentially, I believe that I'm required to post a travel guidelines for fiscal year 11, which would be a an update to the fiscal year 10 travel guidelines. In years past, this has received lots of comments and questions and clarity. I think 2 years we reached a lot of clarity. Last year, I think it came down to a dull roar, even less. We made some, if you remember, we made some modifications, in particular for the GNSO and for a little bit for the GAC. I have not heard any community feedback on wanting to change the level of travel support or, reduce it, increase it, change it. Every once in a while I hear something from SAC or there was a little bit of a discussion possibly about GAC, but I didn't think it had an economic impact. So from my perspective, I think it's just update the years and maybe clean up the language a little bit and then post it for community feedback. But I did send a note out about a week or two ago saying if anybody wanted to provide input, early input, then let me know, and I hadn't heard anything back yet. I think ALAC sent a note saying something.
Yeah, Kevin, this is Tim, if I can jump in.
Sure.
I'd like to get in the queue after Tim, please.
Yeah. And I apologize. I fully meant to make to forward some comments to you earlier, but it just didn't work out, unfortunately. But the only concern that I have, and I think, we've talked about a little bit before, was just that, at least within the registrar stakeholder group, trying to figure out how to use the fund, it wouldn't be easier if we didn't have to always make arrangements directly through ICANN Travel. And I know there's problems associated with that, but I wanted to keep that topic out there and for consideration because, just to give you an example, this particular time around, we'll probably try to do some splitting of funds between our executive committee chair and one of our counselors. The executive committee chair had made some previous arrangements. I think he's trying to work that out with the travel folks, but I'm not sure how that'll go. But so that's the thing that we kind of run into. Or like in Nairobi, when I was set up to go before that got nixed, where I could get approval to stay versus where the staff wanted to put me was two different things. So not that I would have expected, higher reimbursement for that or whatever, but at least something equivalent, I think, is all that would be expected. So that's something to think about if there's a possibility that we could work things out so that if a traveler who is being funded made their own arrangements or are partly their own arrangements, that that wouldn't necessarily knock them out of being able to be funded. I know you've made some exceptions and there's that program in place, but I just see that happening more often.
Okay, good. I think that's a good point. I think if it's okay with you, I think what I'll do is I'll draft that as a upfront question. And then see what the feedback is on that.
Sure.
And then I'll also articulate kind of the balance of that, the reason, or articulate. And I've said it before. I could tell it hasn't completely landed, and it's not just external; it's also internal. The reasons for using the ICANN travel agent are questioned internally as well as externally. So what we're, I'm still for it, and I think we still need to use it. But how to, at least I think the question has been raised enough that we need to explore that a bit further.
Great, thanks.
Great. Is there anything else?
Yeah.
Tony, you said you're in the queue.
Yeah, I just wanted to to make the following comment. I think when we're talking about how we're going to look at this, for the next fiscal year, my point is when we're talking about the GNSO, at least, we're looking at an entirely different animal that you had a year ago or 2 years ago. We have a lot more layers of organization, executive committees. We've got new constituencies coming in. And it seems to me it might be prudent to consider, you know, it may be advisable to have a little more funding for the different stakeholder groups. This is just, I know it won't go down well probably with Tim and the registrars, but you know, we're paying for this sort of thing. But I do think that we, when we're considering building a greater structure in the GNSO with many more participants, which is what new constituencies basically is about, there may be some, let's say, a greater demand on having some help to get to the meetings. That's just my point.
Okay, good. Then,
Can I jump in?
Yes.
Obviously, as you've just said, it's something that would be difficult for us to agree to. But for the sake of discussion, I would like some clarification as to exactly what you have in mind in terms of extra funding for the constituencies. Do you mean that, for example, if stakeholder groups in the non-contracted parties' house put on some constituencies, as they're prone to do, if I understand the system correctly, then those constituencies should be funded, and if so, in what way? The take that we've had on it so far, just to keep things both simple and palatable for all parties involved, and that's the consensus that we reached, was that we would fund one slot per council member. So you're suggesting that should be expanded to certain constituencies, and if so, in what way?
Well, it's a good question, Stefan. I haven't really worked out a proposal on this, but more likely what I'm seeing is maybe this will be something we should sort of take under wing, that there may be a greater demand. Let's say, for example, you have a new constituency comes up, which would be like charitable organizations or something, who really do not have funding to come to a meeting, and they would want some assistance in that sort of thing. And again, getting back to the question of how the GNSO now is being structured, where you have an additional layer, which is the executive level. I mean, I'm on the executive of the CSG, Commercial Stakeholder Group, and I've got to be at the meetings and coordinate a whole bunch of things. It's not, you know, if I don't have funding, I can't come. So it's worked out so far because we've been able to sort this out within our constituency and the councillors. But there is a greater demand on our time, on our participation. Just as an example, this new working group with vertical integration looks like it's going to have 100 members. And I mean, just reading the emails on that is almost a half-day job. So, I mean, these are just examples of what I see as a greatly expanding, scenario for the GNSO. A lot more people, a lot more participation, more layers of organization and coordination. I just think that this might at some time merit saying, well, we're not talking just about each councillor gets funding, but maybe we need a larger pool of funding available. And I'm not saying that, just to make it quite clear, that this should necessarily come out of the pockets of the registrars. There should, I would imagine, in everything that's going on, there should be other means to generate some revenue for that.
This is Tim. I just find, you know, some personal comments. I don't want to speak for the registrars stakeholders group as a whole, because it's some of the stuff we haven't really, other than the fact that they're not for more funding, I can't really speak for them. But, just personally, I want to make sure it's clear that, we don't view, at least GoDaddy doesn't view this as GoDaddy or registrars funding this. I think that may be where the money is coming through, but I think the point is that the money we're spending is actually, most of it is the money of registrants and the average user. That's where most of the money is coming from. It's not coming from big corporations. Most of it isn't coming from, directly out of registrars' pockets necessarily. For example, GoDaddy passes that cost on to our registrants directly. So they're the ones paying for it, and at least in our opinion, they're the ones who are least represented within this whole community. So when we put things out for community comment, we're really not getting feedback from the majority of the people who are actually paying for all this. We just want to be cautious about how we spend that money. And, the concept that there are volunteers who would be useful to have at these meetings who could use the funding because it's difficult for them to be there otherwise, I fully agree with that. The problem is how do we ascertain who they are? And, that's been an issue all along, and why we really, ended up not going down that road of trying to fund based on need, because trying to determine it can be tough. So I don't know what all the answers are, but I think, if we're going to continue to expand funding, we need to be very cautious. Just the fact that I even get funded, something that bothers me, to be quite honest with you, but, it's not, when the funding is offered, it's not my choice completely to turn it down. I represent GoDaddy, work for GoDaddy, so if, the company feels that, if other registrars and other, corporations like Verizon or VeriSign or others are going to be funded, then, GoDaddy's not going to turn it down. So that's where we're at. So I just hate to see that continue to expand and we end up with a lot of funds being used where they're not really needed. I don't know what the answer is, but those are the concerns we have.
Can I come in?
Can I get in after Stefan, please?
Sure. Yeah, I was sort of stepping in as chair just because I'm probably the most involved in travel, but I think this is your meeting, so of course, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it might be useful, Kevin, if you do manage the queue, though, or someone
okay.
else.
Okay, all right, I'll be happy to do that. Tony, go ahead. Thank you.
Well, I think Stefan spoke before I did.
Okay, Stefan, go ahead.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony. I have, there's a couple of reactions that I have. One to what Tim has just said. I actually have personal capacity here, I agree with what Tim said, that a lot of the stuff that we say here hasn't been vetted with the registrars yet, but I think it's public knowledge that I have no qualms about counselors being funded due to the amount of time and work that they are putting into the process. And I'm very sensitive to the arguments that Tony puts forward on the fact that others, as our workload increases, are called in to make the same kind of time and work commitments that counselors may be making. So that's certainly not something that I would want to brush away. My question and worry is, where does it stop? Where do you draw the line? We found one line that we could draw with relative ease, which is the council, just for funding the counselors. My fear is that if we take it further than that, one example that springs to mind is the chairs. I know for the registrar stakeholder group, the chair puts in an amazing amount of time and work into chairing the constituency and pays his own way to go to the meeting. So, obviously the chairs, you might want to fund them, and then the people on the executive committees of the different stakeholder groups and constituencies. and perhaps the chairs of the working groups. I mean, you mentioned the VI working group. Well, Roberto and Mikey are going to put in an amazing amount of effort, I think, in chairing that group. So, you know, my worry is, where do we draw the line? And wherever the money comes from, it's still ICANN budget, an ICANN budget, and I think we still need to limit it in some way.
My only comment, I agree entirely with what Jim has said and what you said, Stefan. And as a suggestion, I think I would start off by saying, well, perhaps we could agree, discuss and agree, to the fact that we could have a provision of, let's say, a 50% available increase on what is currently normal, which is not necessarily used except in cases which the travel team as a whole considers as justified. In other words, it wouldn't be drawing a line and saying, well, there's a slot for this particular function in the GNSO which is automatically funded, but there is this available extra funding which is sitting there and which can be evaluated as per some specific and very justifiable need, as the one you just mentioned, for instance, the chairs of the vertical integration working group.
Hello.
It's probably not the best idea in the world, but it's something which might be considered.
Sounds like Olga has joined the call. Olga?
Yes. Hi. I don't know who's managing the call. Just wanted to let you know that I just joined. My apologies. I had another meeting that went longer than expected.
Okay. Thank you, Olga, for joining.
Tim would like to get in the queue, too.
Who is that that wants to get in the queue?
Tim.
Tim. Okay. Tim, or Tony, did you finish?
Yes. Actually, I just wanted to make that initial suggestion and just repeat my statement that I know it's far from perfect, but it's the only thing I can come up with right now.
Yeah. One question, and Olga, I've been kind of acting as at least the moderator, not the chair, in your absence, so happy to have you take it over. But one question that came up, and this is related to Chuck's request to go to Russia, is that the ICANN travel guidelines addresses travel support for the ICANN meetings only. We haven't really addressed specifically any other travel support. That's been, to the extent that was handled, like on the the IRT thing and other activities that sometimes happen. Those were generally addressed and not so explicitly. Maybe I don't really know. I'm kind of seeking guidance whether the draft of the travel guidelines for fiscal year 11 should ask that question explicitly, or whether we should just wait for feedback on whether there should be any travel support for things like the vertical separation working group.
Kevin, let me ask you a question, if I may. I don't know if there's a queue and people still waiting.
I think Tim's in the queue.
Yeah. We'll go ahead, Tim, and then I'll make a comment about this request.
Okay. Yeah, I think, first I just wanted to make another possible suggestion about, how to decide where funds go, or if certain constituencies or stakeholder groups need more funds, or et cetera. And that is that, the counselors, represent their stakeholder group, or their house, I guess, to some extent. But primarily their stakeholder group. And all stakeholder groups are not equal in their ability to be able to collect or gather or raise funds. But I think certainly, some have more ability than others. When you look at a stakeholder group, registrars, for example, there are registrars who are part of that group who have able to generate, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in profit. Now, maybe there's not a lot of those. Then you have a GoDaddy that generates tens of millions of dollars in profit. or more. And so there's certainly, you know, more ability to raise funds than what might be demonstrated. And I think other stakeholder groups are similar. If you've got stakeholder groups with companies, with businesses that, you know, are generating, you know, tens of billions of dollars in revenue and billions of dollars in profits, you know, I think if those stakeholder groups feel it's important that their counselors or that others attend ICANN meetings and that it's to their benefit within this process, then certainly there should be some call, in my opinion, within that stakeholder group to raise the funds to make that happen. And that shouldn't fall back on the overall users, internet users at large, to fund everybody in that way, which is what is really happening today. So that's a possible way of looking at need, is, you know, the ability of a stakeholder group to generate funds. Now, it still gets a little bit complicated, but I think it might be easier than looking at individuals, because those individuals represent companies, they represent stakeholder groups. And the only other comment I want to make with this in regards to what you said, Kevin, about maybe putting that out there, but I think as far as, you know, like Chuck wanting to go to Russia, but along those lines, I think then that as the council looks at those situations, which that kind of came up as a surprise to me that Chuck was asking it in that way. I felt it was more something that should be formally presented to the council if he was there, you know, if it was going to be representing the council. If he wasn't, then I don't think there's any question. If it's he wants
right.
to go on, it's a personal nature, then, you know, that's up to him, but the funding's on himself. But if it's representing the council, then the council could look at that and make a decision as to whether it's necessary, and that the stakeholder groups want to raise or use funds that they have available for that purpose, then, you know, so let it be. That's my way of looking at it. I don't think it should be put forth as a question, because I know what the answer will be from at least from those that normally reply to these things, and I would just hate to see the funding get expanded in that way.
Okay, and just so I'm clear, when you say the stakeholder group should consider raising the funds, do you mean within the ICANN budget, or do you mean as a separate revenue, like almost a fundraising activity?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the latter. I mean, you know, the registrars, like within the registrar stakeholder group, for example, and they'll probably shoot me for saying all this stuff, but
right.
I mean, we have, you know, we have a fee that's associated with being a member of the group, so that we have a set of funds that we can use for various things. And, you know, every year we look at our budget and how that money's going to be spent and make decisions, et cetera. I think that's probably true of a number of different stakeholder groups. And so there's certainly, you know, the concept of raising funds within the stakeholder group is there, and I think that should, I see no reason why that couldn't be extended to look at, you know, funding for this kind of travel for those stakeholder groups who are able to do it. And if they can't and they can demonstrate that, then some assistance in funding might be appropriate.
Can you put me in the queue, Kevin, please?
Sure. Yeah, me, Austin, Stefan, please.
So Stefan and then Tony.
Yep.
Don't
wait. Hold it. I'm sorry, Olga. It was before you, Stefan. I'm obviously new at this moderator role. Olga, did you have another question?
No, it's just a comment, and I support. I think that Tim made a very good point in his explanation. But I would like to ask you something, Kevin. I think the point that Chuck was writing about his participation in Russia is more about outreach and not so much related with GNSO. And I wonder if this is good or not for ICANN, and if there are funds for outreach in other regions. I remember helping organize in a GTLD meeting in November here in Buenos Aires, and also Tony was involved with a meeting in Sao Paulo. Maybe it's another way of making ICANN known in the world, which is good, but it's not related with strictly our GNSO function, and I think that our travel funds should be for ICANN meetings. But is it there another way of funding some other outreach activities?
I mean, the short answer is of course there are. The travel guidelines themselves really grew out of Denise and other department heads treating travel support as sort of a necessary requirement, almost like they would make decisions, she and others would make decisions on should I hire a consultant to do this work, or can I pay, you know, pay travel support to a, quote, volunteer, unquote, community member to do the work. And so that's how it kind of grew, and then and it became, you know, close to $1 million. And so we said, hey, for fiscal responsibility and accountability and transparency, we really should have a guidelines so that we, it's not a friend of a staff member's decision, or you know, that it was more based on you know, some core principles that had been discussed and circulated. So that's the reason why I raised the question: does it make sense to talk about funding other than for the ICANN meeting in the context of a travel guidelines for ICANN? And that's the reason I was toying with the idea of actually putting that as an explicit question on the in this draft that's about to be posted.
Thank you.
Okay, good. So, Stefan, I think you're next.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. I think if we consider, I think the question raised by Chuck is actually very, it's a very interesting question for us. And the first way to look at it is to totally dissociate Chuck from VeriSign. I think it's a personal request made by the chair of the GNSO, and if we start to look at it with respect to his current employer, then that just throws things out of focus a bit. So the real question to me is, should the chair of the GNSO engage in outreach activities outside of ICANN official meetings and be funded by ICANN for that? And one of the questions that I'd have for you, Kevin, is similar to what Olga was asking. Has there been any precedent for this? Because it sounds to me like it's a new situation that we're grappling with, but maybe it's not. And if people, you know, if SO chairs and leaders want to do outreach, then perhaps ICANN, managing the ICANN budget, need clear guidelines as to what's considered outreach,
right,
and what isn't.
Right, yeah. So the short answer is, you know, I'd have to do some research to find out historically beyond, you know, the last few years I've been here. But since I've been here, this has come up. Obviously, outreach is a significant chunk of our budget, but we put it in the context of, staff support or regional meetings or the registrar. I guess you could kind of call that maybe out, not really, but
this is Tim rejoining. Sorry.
Okay, great. Thank you. But I know, for example, the at-large review or the ALAC review recommended more funds be spent on outreach, and there the at-large and ALAC group are trying to put together budget requests related to that. I'm waiting with bated breath on what that will translate into as far as a request. Then as far as, for example, the one that pops into my head is board members. We sometimes have board members that say, gee, I think it makes sense for us to attend this meeting or attend it more robustly. So I kind of treated Chuck's request is kind of an extension of that sort of sense, and I don't know. I think that's a bigger question than a finance question. I think it's a strategic question. I know at the board level they're specifically addressing that and kind of trying to come up with a better model and making sure. For example, one of the things that I've heard is that board members can't speak on behalf of ICANN without without prior written authorization, you know, that sort of thing. So you get those kind of comments that come through. So I tried to answer it shortly or succinctly. I think I didn't, but I think the short answer is no. There's not a clear precedence for that. There certainly have been requests and comments about that, but not explicitly. And then
can I get in the queue too?
Yeah. Yes. And then just to close it out, obviously NOMCOM, almost by definition, is outreach, as it's, you know, recruiting for council members and board members. So
Kevin, just to make sure I understand what you're saying, when board members do outreach, do they get funded?
Well, there have been situations where they've gone to meetings and they have had been travel support meetings, other than the ICANN meetings and other than the board retreats. But it's pretty rare, and it became in the last year it grew to the level where we said, hey, we need to have a more explicit guidelines and clarity on who can attend and who's deciding who attends, that sort of thing. So that's a short answer. So yes, there has been support. And now it's reached recently reached a level to the point where we said let's have it more explicit. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, good. Tim, you were next, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my opinion is that if the GNSO feels that there's outreach that's valuable to it, you know, that's a decision the stakeholder group should make as a whole, and if they agree. And those are funds a stakeholder group should raise, and not expect ICANN's budget to somehow, you know, make a reserve of some sort for that kind of unknown spending that could come up throughout the year, that could be used at the request of the GNSO. And again, part of my concern about that is because that money doesn't come from the constituents. Most of that money doesn't come from the constituents of the GNSO as it's currently structured. And the other thing I want to just point out in regards to, you know, Chuck's specific request and kind of respond to Stefan's point about that being, you know, a personal request trying to that's separate from his role in Verisign. I don't agree with that. I mean, you know, Stefan, you were there, and we know how hard Verisign lobbied to get Chuck as chair. That's the kind of thing that typically occurs. You know, they were successful. Chuck is now chair of the GNSO. Verisign clearly felt that there was some benefit in that, so that's fine. So, you know, if there's things that, you know, Chuck feels important to engage in and, you know, the GNSO isn't going to fund it, if his company agrees that it is, then, you know, Verisign can pay for that. If this is something completely personal to Chuck, then, you know, why should the GNSO or his company be expected to fund him to these things? You know, now, there may be outreach where ICANN feels important to ICANN itself, and ICANN may request this individual or that individual or someone from a particular stakeholder group to attend. And that may be a different situation to look at. But those are usually things that ICANN has experience with and can kind of figure in the budget and can kind of expect for the most part. So anyway, my viewpoint. Thanks.
Can I just answer that point that Tim's just made? Just to clarify, I see what you're saying, Tim. I don't think it should be a personal Chuck decision. What I'm saying is Chuck is asking, the way he's put the question, and I'm not going into whether it's actually, you know, Verisign wanting him to go or whatever, but the way he put the question is, I'm the chair of the GNSO, I want to go and do some outreach. I've been asked, actually. It's not he wanted to. He said, I've been asked to go and do some outreach. I'd like to get funded for it. Now, I agree with what you said on the list back then, which is it should be a council decision, and the council should as a whole agree or not to send the chair or another representative to do this outreach, to do outreach at this meeting. But I don't think the problem is linked to Verisign. I mean, whether it be Verisign or someone, you know, another member of the council that's got another employer that may be something completely different, I don't think that's the problem. The problem is, do we, does the GNSO community feel that it's useful for the chair or some other representative to go outside of ICANN meetings to do outreach? And if so, should they be funded to do that? I think that's the way the question was asked.
Right, right. And if that's the case, then the GNSO should be the one looking at where they're going to get the funds to do it. That's
yeah,
my
I agree.
Point.
Yeah, agreed.
Good. Tony, did you have another question?
Well, nothing to add on to what's just been said about Chuck. No, basically, I was just sort of trying to get back to my original point, and since Olga was not on the call, I'll just refresh it for her benefit, which is that I do think that a little expansion in the available funding for travel to meetings should be incorporated for the next fiscal year. One thing I just thought of, which would be a good mechanism, would be for each stakeholder group to have, let's say, one funding slot for travel to meetings at their decision. Okay?
Just you mean one more person to the ICANN meetings than currently has?
For each stakeholder group, like in the non-contracted parties, we have the commercial stakeholder group and the non-commercial.
Right.
Well, each one of those two houses, as we call them, would have one slot which they could by consensus decide, well, we'd like to fund this person to come to the meeting. It would be like an additional counselor, let's say.
Okay.
That's my proposal.
I'm understanding that, yeah. Okay. So I think unless there's any other questions, I wanted to I need to get off for another call, but and I'm happy to join other drafting travel team calls if you'd like. I think my actions are to go ahead and post, you know, in the next week or so, the FY11 draft travel guidelines for community feedback. And I'll highlight some of these questions so that, I don't like Tim said, I don't want to over solicit this, but at the same time, I want to be responsive and kind of get the focus questions on that, not get into, some of the minutiae that encourage community feedback on, core principles, not on minutiae, which is also important, but hopefully not the purpose for this policy. So. I'll go ahead and do that, and I assume 30 days or so is enough time, although I'm hearing feedback that there's just the community is overwhelmed with the amount of feedback that they have to provide. I'd like to, if you have any suggestions on that, let me know. But other than that, are there any questions or comments, questions or comments?
Just a comment, Kevin, that I think once the document is for public comment, GNSO will probably give our input to maybe we can draft something in the drafting team and send it to the
excellent
space. Okay.
Excellent, good, thank you. Okay, good. Glenn, thank you for setting it up, and thank you all for joining. That's good. And if there's anything else we need to do, let me know.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very
all right.
much.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye.
Thank you.